sweet home of joy and freedom. Shine your light for me today.
This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and counting a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio with these listeners. Thank you for the blessings of life that you bestowed upon us. We ask you today, Lord, that you'd have your will and your way. I do pray, Father, that you'd bless this time that we have here. Pray for the missionaries, children's homes, all the work, Lord. God, I pray that the word of God would go out and find good ground, Lord. We're thankful. We just want to call upon thy name. I read earlier today, Father, where Abraham built altars and called upon the name of the Lord. I'm glad today that we can call upon you. I appreciate your presence. Appreciate you coming by, Lord. We ask you, Lord, just to help us, Lord, one more time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I would like to ask you to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as all the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria and all of that mission work. We sure appreciate everything that the Lord is doing in this work, and the souls that's being saved, and just the good reports that we hear. If you would also remember the missionaries in the Ukraine, Brother Richard and Paul Gray and Chris Rue and others that's down in that area, been there for many, many years. And with all of this war that's going on, and seems like here in the States, we don't hear as much about it as we were. And I get some reports from the missionaries and things like that. And but it's still a bad situation, but the Lord is doing a big work in it. So if you would, please continue to pray for those folks. We greatly appreciate it. And I want to go ahead and give you our mailing addresses this week. If you would like to write us, we'd love to hear from you. You write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we'd like to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust you'll enjoy the message. But if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Job. And this morning early, I sat back here and I had been reading through the book of Job. I'd read the first 24 chapters, and this morning I read from chapter 25 to 42 and finished it up. There's something about reading the Word of God and just not stopping. It's like there's something in there that you can kindly get everything in its context and see things in a different light rather than just reading a chapter here and a chapter there and just something about it. But I sat back there this morning and got some things on my mind and on my heart, and I want to talk to you about it. And we know a lot about the book of Job, and we read in the New Testaments about where it talks about the patience of Job, but I don't know. I don't have patience like that. And I'm not asking for it either. I'm not asking for patience. Patience worketh tribulation, and I've seen enough of that. But anyway, we know much about Job. We know much about it, but I do want to touch on it just for a few minutes about some of the things that got him in a place. I want to talk to you about it. Job chapter 1. I'm going to wind up in the latter part of it. Just kindly preach through here just a little bit. For these two statements that's made that was a great help to me this morning. But it's in chapters, I think, 28, maybe 30 or somewhere in there. I'll find them here in just a minute. And I might be telling you wrong. I am telling you wrong. It's actually chapter 38. Chapter 38 and chapters 40. I just missed it by 10 chapters both ways. But anyway, you know this story. But the Bible said that in verse 7, for the sake of time, let me back up to verse 6. The Bible said, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Every time I read that, I think of Brett. He says, "Don't consider me." And that's good, ain't it? I'm lining up with Brett. Listen, I don't want to be considered in some of these things. But he did. He said this, that there is none like him. That's an interesting statement, ain't it? I mean, he said, would you want to consider him? And he said, there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then here's a statement that Satan makes, and he says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He said, What's he afraid of? You're not going to do anything to him. Does he fear you for naught? I mean, you're not. Satan said, you put a hedge about him. What can happen to him? What can happen? I mean, really, he's asking him. He's asking him a question. Does he fear for nothing? No, nothing. Is he afraid of you for nothing? If you've never been faced with anything, fear is not exposed. He's living it up. I can't bother him. Ain't that good news tonight? Ain't that good news that, I mean, he's still under control. He might not be in heaven, but he's still under control of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I can't stand here tonight and tell you that I know all the answers of why we have problems and why we face them. I don't have those answers. And I'm not going to pretend to. But I just want to preach to you a little bit about how God helped Job. That's all I can tell you. How he's going to help you or how he's going to help me or what he's going to do. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I just do know they sung it up here a few minutes ago. I mean, in heaven, there's no need for the sun to shine anymore. I mean, there ain't no need for anything. My God, he's in charge of all of it. But anyway, he said, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. He said, I mean, he fears you. I mean, what's the reason for him even fearing you was what Satan was trying to say here. Nothing can touch him. But the Lord said, hast thou considered him? Well, you know what happens next. Now, stay with me for a few minutes. I'm not going to preach in here long. I want to go elsewhere. You know, the next thing that happens in chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible said the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, verse 16, it said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen. Now, I want you to notice something right there. Listen, this is very important. The first thing that happened when the second messenger showed up, he blamed it on God. The fire of God is fallen. He packed it off on the Lord. Now that you read that. Said the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell among the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. Now, I mean, this is a pretty bad day for Job. I mean, Lord God, all of his substance is being taken away right here all at once. And then, as bad as it is in verse 18, it said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. The Bible said in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now that's a big statement right there. I mean, big statement. But I want to preach on a little bit tonight. These are things that God got Job in a place that if you read the rest of the book, I don't think Job thought he'd ever come out of. If you read it. I don't believe he ever thought that he'd come out of this place. I mean, everything has been taken away from him. Before we get to the end of it, even his strength is taken away from him. It's not long that you find out that Satan comes to him. He could not. This didn't rob Job's faith. In all of this, Job sinned not. In all of this, Job sinned not. Then the Bible said the angels came back, and Satan also come with them. And the Lord asked him where he's been. Same answer, going to and fro, up and down in the earth. He asked him again, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Skin for skin, he'll curse thee." He said, "Look, you can go. You can do whatever, but save his life only." The Bible said, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. I mean, Satan poured it on him. Satan poured it on him. All he could do except to kill him. Got him to a place that he never, never dreamed of getting out of. You say you can't prove that. I believe I can. I mean, if you'll go on and you'll start reading in the book of Job, you'll find out that Job, in chapter 6, he said this. He said, "Even that it would please God to destroy me." I don't see no way out of this. All he's saying is, death is my only option here. Everything is so grievous, there's nothing left. Verse 11, he said, "What is my strength that I should have hope?" What is it? I've lost everything. I can't go out here and work and get it all back. I've lost all my young'uns. I've lost everything. What is my strength that I should have hope anymore? I mean, what am I hoping for? Has no strength left. Satan had got him in a pitiful shape. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes and putting ashes over himself now, and sitting there and don't even have strength to get up anymore. I mean, he said, "What is my end that I should prolong my life?" He come to the place and said, "What's the use? Why do I want to wake up tomorrow? What's the purpose?" Now, I'm going to preach this here in a few minutes. There's answers to all of Job's questions. There's answers to all of it. But you know how that this goes. You'll find out it ain't long till Eliphaz shows up, and Zophar, and Bildad, and they sit there silent for 7 days, and finally Job speaks. And then they, you know, they go on, and I want to say this. They have all the answers for Job. One tells them, you know, if you'll get right with God, God will prosper you and give everything back to you. But he never knew that Job was perfect and upright in the eyes of God anyway.
Amen.
He never did understand that. The other one over there, I believe it's Eliphaz, he said, "There's a spirit come by, and I felt him come by, and I seen just a little bit, and he told me a few things about you. He told me what's wrong," and, you know, I mean, go over and read this thing. And it ain't long, listen to me. Job got over there in chapter 13,
And verse 4, in all of this, Job didn't believe it. Every report, he said, but ye are forgers of lies. You are physicians of no value. See, this is a deep statement that's being made here. He said, there's no physician on earth that can help me. He said, you're a physician of no value. I thought of this scripture today when they took Billy out there and going to send him back home. I think Bristol's full of physicians of no value. But if you ain't careful, the church is full of them also. I'm not here to tell you I've got the answer to pull you out of every mess you're in. I'm not here as Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, and I mean telling you to get right with God. That ain't going to... You know better than that. If you've been saved and washed in the blood. Hey, the devil would like to get every one of us in a place where you're sitting and you can't even find strength to want to even wake up tomorrow again. What's the use? Job said... He finally come over in chapter 14. He said, man is born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. Prior to the heads being taken up, even Satan gave the account, who can touch him? He's lived prosperously. You've blessed him on every hand. I mean, you've blessed him with a family. The Bible talks about that in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. You've given him a big family. You've surrounded him. Everything is good. But Satan would love to get every one of us in a place where got no reason to go on.
Amen.
Amen. And so he tells them. And I'm going to say this. Physician, ain't you help? Physicians of no value, that ain't where you're going to get your help. Eliphaz. I mean, he tells them over in Job chapter 16, he said, miserable comforters are ye. Job just lays them out. But he's still in the same situation. Chapter 17, he said, the graves are ready for me. I mean, he ain't got no hope. He said, I'd just soon die. I'm ready to get out of here. Go on. But then you'll find out, he goes over there and Job, he pretty much lays his complaint out. One place he said, oh, that I knew where he was at. That I could hear his voice. That I could feel his touch. We come over here and I'm going to get over here where I'm going to preach just for a few minutes. You'll find out that Job talks for a little while, but then there's another young fella there, and he wants to give his opinion, and he blatantly says that. He said, I've listened to all the elders. He said, that's older than my father. He said, I've watched Job sit in the gate and all of these things. I've seen Job be a leader and all of this. And he gives his opinion on the thing. But then, after he gets done, the Lord begins to speak. Now listen to this. When he gets done, when Elihu gets done, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now listen what he says about this fellow. Who is this that darkeneth counsel? And by words without knowledge.
Amen.
Who are these fellas here?
Yep. Yes,
who are they? They don't have no light in their counsel.
Right.
Their counsel is darkness. They can't help you.
Right.
They can't bring you out of this. Their advice that they're giving you will not bring you out of this. Yes. But I find that there's just a few words. In fact, let me give them to you here. This is what the Lord said. Now, here's what means something. It don't matter what I say, and it don't matter what nobody else says. It don't matter what the physicians say. It don't matter what the comforters say. It don't matter about, but the Lord, I mean, here is Job, and he's in a place that he never thinks that he'll ever be able to get up from. You know what the Lord says? Gird up thy loins like a man. Now, here's the thing. What for? What reason? What reason do I have to gird up my loins? Houses are gone. Animals are gone. Farms are gone. And families gone. What reason? What's the purpose in it? He tells him, "For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." Now, this ain't the last time that you're going to hear this. He said, gird them up. You've been sitting here. You've been sitting here in sackcloth and ashes. Now, here's the thing. It don't matter if I say this or not. It just matters when the Lord tells you. There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason to gird up your loins. There's a reason. I mean, the Lord speaks to him for a long period of time here, and he comes over there, and in verse 7, this is what he says again. Gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. You know the first declaration that Job makes in this? If you'll go over in chapter 42 and verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. I know you can do it. Eliphaz couldn't help me get up from this situation. Zophar couldn't help me get up from this situation. Bildad couldn't help me get up from this situation. All of their advice couldn't help me get up. Say, why do I need to get up and gird my loins like a man? Why? Because God's got something for you. So what does he want me to do in the shape I'm in? He's getting ready to send them fellas back over there, and they need Job's help. Amen. I mean, now, I ain't saying nothing bad about this, okay? I'm not saying nothing about Job's previous life because the Lord didn't.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.